Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for anyone who believed that President Joe Biden should step aside from his presidential campaign. Yes, I know, this encompasses a lot of people, including many we love dearly, such as His Excellency Barack the Obama, 7th degree master of the holy pause for effect. But truth is truth, and as representative and head of the Congressional Black Caucus, Stephen Horsford recently said when asked about Biden's mental acuity.
What I find interesting is the issue is more around ageism and ableism and not what this president, President Biden, has done.
Now, I'm sure you all understand that using Biden's age as a criticism is obviously ageist, but even criticizing him for age-related mental degeneration is also ageist because while you seem to be criticizing his mental acuity, you're really only attacking him for being old, a fact for which no one can be held accountable. But Horsford also mentioned ableism, and although many of you have already earned your level 2 language policing virtue badges, for the newcomers, ableism means criticizing someone on the basis of their inability to do something other people can do, like see, or walk, or form coherent sentences. We anti-ableists have all pledged to fight the ideas of competence, ability, performance, and results because such things start from believing that it's legitimate to judge people by their mental or physical abilities. In short, we're not a meritocracy. As if we believed in the backwards notion that some people being more able to do a task than others is relevant for putting them in charge of performing that task. So regressive. You see, those who pushed Grandpa Joe out of the presidential race weren't only being ableist and ageist, but they were poignantly guilty of missing a real opportunity to practice the great virtues of inclusion and representation. What better way to tell the elderly of this country that they matter too than by allowing them to finally see one of their own, a frail super senior with memory and speech challenges running the free world? Similarly, what more powerful message of inclusion can you imagine than letting the intellectually challenged and the physically unperforming look at the President of the United States and see one of their own in the position? Representation matters. So to all those who simply pushed our dear leader aside because he had become aged, feeble, confused, and garbled, shame on you. The presidency is not only for the sharp, the healthy, the fit, and the young. We don't need the best and the brightest. We just need President Biden. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to fully celebrate the sacred anointing of Vice President Kamala Harris as the replacement candidate for Joe Biden. Yes, even though pushing aside the president was completely wrong for all the reasons I just explained, we nevertheless cherish the silver lining of the now complete coronation of Her Highness Queen Kamala I. Now, obviously, we're very excited about the possibility of having our first female president of the United States also be a multiracial Californian with virtually no mass appeal whatsoever. But putting aside her symbolic value as an African-American woman, we especially celebrate the method of her selection. It's very important for the Democratic Party not to be confused with an organization that actually believes in the practice of democracy. Oh, no. Not at all. This is one of those clever forms of newspeak in which we say one thing and mean the exact opposite. And since we want to prepare people for the eventual top-down leadership style so characteristic of all truly progressive regimes, from Mao to Stalin to Fidel to Putin or Xi, it's helpful to show that the true democratic presidents are selected, not elected. You see, the same democratic anti-democratism that kept Bernie Sanders from the nomination in 2016 is alive and well today in deciding to conceal President Biden's infirmities until after the primary process was over, and then to suddenly substitute Queen Kamala I for King Joe when the time was right. Yes, allowing the smoke-free backrooms of the Democratic Party to foist her upon the masses follows perfectly in the strongest and most long-standing traditions of the leaders of our denomination. We, of course, support the move and continue to pledge our undying loyalty to the DEIest of all DEI appointees, the checker of all boxes and representer of all demographics, the Holy One, Her Royal Highness, Kamala Harris. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, Ingrid Andress, the country singer who recently performed the national anthem at Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby in a somewhat unorthodox way.
For the land of the free,
Now, many people have criticized Miss Andrus for this rendition, saying it was sloppy, off-key, disrespectful, and just plain terrible. At first, we agreed. But then we learned from Ingrid herself what happened as she posted on Instagram the next day about the incident. I'm not gonna... Y'all, I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country that I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO, Ingrid. And now you can surely see why we are canceling her. Oh, not because she was drunk. Who are we to tell people how to live their lives as long as they aren't using the wrong pronouns, microaggressing minorities, producing too much carbon, eating meat, or watching Fox News? If all they want to do is drink themselves silly and sing a song badly, no problem. You see, in our opinion, this was yet another undeserved metaphorical lynching motivated by sheer ableism and hostility to alcohol. If you believe in free speech, why don't you also believe in free song? Is there some reason that we can't celebrate this country through the mechanism of a terribly performed anthem of inebriation? Have you never sung a song badly because you consume too much alcohol? Don't tell me you haven't, karaoke masses. So why not let Miss Andrus simply have her moment? Off-key, oddly stylistic, and slurred though it may have been, in some ways, this was the most American version of the anthem ever sung. But instead of celebrating it and the anti-ableism and equality it represented, Ingrid tucked tail between her legs, apologized, and ran to the nearest rehab center, rather than basking in the afterglow of her superbly inclusive mediocrity. No, the problem wasn't the performance. The problem was letting the bullies and the ableists of the world drive you to rehab and make you feel bad for it, dear. So for giving in to them and letting down drunk song butchers the world over, we cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Before you depart today, please note that the Standing Irregular Committee on Language Purification has issued an official ruling on the phrase King of the Hill. As anticipated, they found the expression to be sexist, monarchist, inegalitarian, supremacist, violent, and hierarchical. As such, it is now on the ever-growing list of banned expressions. A corollary. Children are obviously not allowed to play the game either. Even if it could be rebranded as something more inclusive like Queen of the Hill or Duly Appointed First Among Equals of the Hill, the competition and shoving are directly at odds with the emasculated society of love and cooperation we're trying to build here. Refreshments this week are provided by Seven Blunders, purveyors of accidental meat and other unorthodox foodstuffs. Deeply committed to letting no food source go to waste, Seven Blunders reclaims many varieties of roadkill, dumpster nuggets, and generally anything found on the sidewalk. Pre-baked by nature's finest direct sunlight, Seven Blunders brings back the joy of excessive flavors and aromas straight to your plate. Seven Blunders, you can barely taste the virtue because of the stench.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Lives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we're seeing some backup if you're headed from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90. Right through that construction zone, both northbound and southbound lanes are showing some delays there. I'm John Pickens with a look at your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, any update on dumpster nuggets?
I'm stuck on the dumpster nuggets here. I'm telling you. I'm ready to try them, though. Why not? You only live once, right? Barack and Michelle Obama.
You may only live once.
Barack and Michelle Obama now officially endorsing Kamala Harris.
We called to say Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and in.